You're listening to the Jason Greger Show, presented by PlayAlberta.ca. Remember, if you gamble, use your game sense, stay within your limits. Go to gamesense.ab.ca. East from NHL.com. Join us. We're also going to talk a little footy with DVD. DVD, my man, how you doing?
Good. How are you doing today?
Were you a big fan of Sean? Were you a big wrestling fan at all?
Ooh, you know what? Back in the early WWE days, I was, you know, Hulk Hogan, Randy, Macho Man, guys like that. And you know, I kind of got phased out of it. I liked Stampede Wrestling when I was a kid. I was a big Stampede Wrestling fan. And then, but yeah, since then, not too much. Wow. Not too much wrestling since then.
I thought maybe you're a fan of Rod Van Dam RVD. So maybe with the DVD, thought maybe you just would gravitate towards that. You never know. Or DVD, I'm pretty sure it was a finishing move by somebody, if I'm not mistaken. I got to look it up.
DVD, I'm not sure. Yeah, it might have been.
I think it might have been, but I could be wrong on that one. So mix up a few finishing moves. The Oilers don't have a finishing move right now. DVD, what area of their game do you find should be priority number one for Chris Knobloch to try to fix?
Well, they need some secondary scoring here. Like, they're not getting anything from their bottom six. As far as offense goes, like, those guys are kind of just there. And, you know, I think you can't have your top two lines. You can't have McDavid and Draisaitl having to score 2 or 3 points a night in order for you to have a chance to win. Like, you need some contributions from your bottom half, and you're not getting it. You're not getting them from those guys. And I think that's one thing. I don't know how you fix that. I think he's trying different combinations. He's trying, you know, put different guys there. But, you know, you look at those numbers that some of those guys have, like Henrique and Frederick and Lazar, and, you know, going down the list of these guys aren't producing. They're not getting anything done. And then I think they need to chip in. I need to chip in with a goal or two a night and kind of take some of the load off some of the other guys. Like, that's one of the issues. Another one, their defensive zone coverage is atrocious. Like, they just seem to not know where to go when they don't have the puck, and when they lose the puck, they're not getting out of their zone clean enough. And I think Louis mentioned in the broadcast yesterday that sometimes you got to be able to skate the puck out of your own zone, and they're not doing that at all. So, there's a few issues here that I see, but I think to me the biggest one is that it needs some production out of your third and fourth lines, and they're not getting anything out of those lines right now. And I think that's going to be a big concern, because if you don't have McDavid and Draisaitl firing, if you don't have your power play going, you're really going to struggle. And this team struggles 5-on-5, partly because they're getting outplayed. Those bottom two lines are getting outplayed every night.
Well, definitely in November. In the month of October, they actually scored 11 goals. It wasn't bad if you do that all year long. Because here's the funny thing. The guys who have replaced Perry, Skinner, Arvidsson, Brown, and Derek Ryan, those five guys had 13 goals. And I'm not including Jack Rossovich in that group, by the way. But those guys had 13 goals through 21 games last year. The replacements have 13 goals through 21 games. But they have none in the last 9 games. They were off to a pretty good start. And then it's hit the ditch big time. It's like they didn't have winter tires on. It's the first snowfall and in the ditch, and they can't get out.
Yeah, that's an issue. That's a problem. And I think, I think part of it has to do, there was so much line juggling and line combinations, and they were kind of finding a way to play through that. You're getting some guys back. So I think, you know, when getting Hyman back, you're not going to get as much opportunity, but right now you can't fall into those lulls, because it's going to be, you know, it's a team effort here. When everything's said and done, you need the 20 guys going. And I think Leon Draisaitl talked about this last week when he left on the road, is that you don't have to have everyone on their A-plus game every night to win in the regular season. You need everyone to play playing like the B-plus game, and then some guys playing A-plus game. But you need, for the most part, everyone pulling in the same direction. And right now they're not doing that. And you know, whether it's an experience or whatever the situation is, like, Roslick's come in here and, you know, where would the Oilers be without him? Like, he's been a revelation. But those other guys, those other new guys that they brought in, they're kind of, you know, failing to kind of catch some, you know, gain some leverage here and gain some traction and, you know, be guys that, you know, are going to contribute on an everyday basis. And if you're not contributing score, you have to find other ways to be involved. And I think that's an issue as well. Some of those guys are invisible and you don't even notice them. Like, where are these guys? And what are they doing if they're not scoring or they're not hitting or they're not, you know, being responsible in their own end? Like, what's going on here? And I think that's one of the issues right now with the Edmonton Oilers.
Yeah, no, that's totally valid. Derek Van Dieschon. It was the DDT from Diamond Dallas Page.
Yeah, that's what it was. Yeah, DDT. Yeah. I remember that now. Yeah.
He was a diamond cutter, if I'm not mistaken, for all of our wrestling fans. So that was a classic. RVD was still Rob Van Dam, still pretty classic. You should have went for him once it's Halloween DVD, just so you know. You still got time. You could do it. Get a good wrestling gear on you, right? Maybe you could take a picture and show everybody of it, just like Stoff does. So that'd be awesome. quickly, I want to move to for soccer. I know you're a huge footy guy for Canada. Mm-hmm. Now the game in the grand scheme of things doesn't mean a lot, but you know, they're guys like it means a lot to certain individual players to kind of solidify themselves and where they're going to get to play.
Oh, definitely. Definitely. These exhibition games, you're trying to get a spot on that roster. Yeah. And so you're trying to play as well as you can. And I do like the fact that Canada is playing teams in South America. They're playing Ecuador. They're playing Venezuela. They got to find a different style of game to play as opposed to just playing European teams. But yeah, these games, you know, they're kind of twofold because it's tough because they haven't played a competitive game since the last World Cup because they're the hosts. And that's always an issue when it comes to hosting the World Cup is that you don't get to play competitive games. You don't get to play those qualifying games leading up to the tournament. Those qualifying games can be incredibly intense. I don't know if you caught the end of that Ireland-Hungary game, you know, when Ireland scored in the 95th minute to kind of pull that game out and get to the World Cup. It's just, it's one of those things that they're massive, massive games, played maybe not on a world scale. Maybe they're more regional games, but they matter and mean a lot. Now, when you're playing exhibition games, you got the coach trying to find proper combinations. You got guys trying to impress. But let's be honest, they're still friendlies. There's still kind of a level where it's an exhibition game. Maybe the tackles aren't going to be as spicy. Maybe the game isn't going to be as hard. So you're trying to figure all that out. But that's why it's always tough for host nation because they don't, leading up to the World Cup, you don't play those hard, meaningful qualifying games. And now you got the United States, Mexico, and Canada all in that situation. For the first time, three countries in that situation get automatic berths. So you got to try and manufacture that, and you got to try to kind of figure that out. But you're right. There are players there. They're trying to make that roster. They're trying to impress the coach. So when they do get the call up and they do get the opportunity to play, they're trying to make the most of it, and they want to impress as much as possible.
Is there anybody on the team that you're that you'll be watching closely tonight?
Well, that's a good question. You know what? I'm not sure of the squad that they're throwing out there even, but it's going to be a situation. I think the big thing for Canada is going to be their back four. Like, who starts at their back four? Who's going to be the center back, the two center backs? Anyway, we know Alfonso Davies is going to come back. He's going to have that one of those spots. You know, Alistair Johnston, if he comes back, he's going to have the other one of those spots. But I think there's real competition in who's going to be the two center backs for Canada, who's going to hold those spots there. They have some veteran guys. They have some younger guys that can play in that position. So to me, that's where the most, question marks are for this team, is who's going to hold down the fort at the back. So if you're looking for that, you're looking at the guys that they rotate through in there. Whether they go with an older, experienced guy, or whether they go with some younger guys, I think that's where Canada really has to make some decisions and solidify. I think everywhere else on the field, for the most part, guys are going to be where they've been. For the most part, that's settled. But to me, the two center backs, who are going to be the two center backs for Canada? I think that's going to be one of the biggest decisions for Coach Jesse March going forward.
Yeah, Canada's starting tonight. They're going to go with Crépeau, Larea, Cornelius, Jones, Segur, Kone, Eustachio, Nelson, Buchanan, David, and Oluwaseyi. And obviously, you mentioned Davies isn't playing. I think subs tonight, because it's a friendly. Aren't you allowed more subs in this game, or am I wrong?
Well, you're allowed five. Okay. But you know, but the five, but you can only make them in situations with three substitutions. So you got to bring a couple of guys in at one time. But usually the teams unload their benches in the second half. So this first half, you'll get the good look to see what you have. And then in the second half, again, you know, it slows down a bit. And then you'll probably bring in those five subs. So we'll see how that goes. It used to be a bit more. But, yeah, it's five subs all around now. And so you get a chance to see some new faces in the second half.
Yeah. So I look at Canada. I'm kind of intrigued coming up. Like, the World Cup, man, it's getting closer here. Like, it's, you know, we're only 7 months away, which isn't that long in the grand scheme of things. And, you know, there's going to be games on Canadian soil. And, you know, the Canadian men's team's improving, DVD. Like, I'm not sure, you know, with the expanded format, I just hope they get into the 32, right? Because otherwise you're just playing two games. That kind of sucks.
Well, the thing is, as a host, they're going to get a better, like they call them pots, and they're going to get a better seating as a host, because the whole point of the World Cup is you want the host to advance as far as possible. So they're not going to go into a group of death per se, because they're going to get some lighter teams in their group, and they're going to get an opportunity to get out of their group, because that's what FIFA wants. The longer the host countries are around, the better it is for the tournament, the more excitement there is for the tournament. So they're going to get a seating as a host country that they wouldn't have gotten otherwise. So once all the teams are qualified, once they figure it all out, and then you get the different seedings, and then you kind of figure out the draw. But I think Canada will get a favorable draw. It won't be as tough as it was 4 years ago in Qatar. Like, that was almost a group of death. You're playing Belgium and Croatia and Morocco. Those are three really, really solid teams that you had to try and get out of that group with. Belgium was kind of on a downslide there. You know, they're coming back up. They're and with 48 teams, there's going to be some teams there that, you know, Canada's maybe with another top 20 team, a European side or South American side, but I think they are going to get a very favorable draw because they're the host nation. So, yeah, the goal is to get out of that first round and then kind of try and build momentum from there.
DVD, as always, buddy. Great to catch up with you. Appreciate it, as always. Have yourself an awesome day, and enjoy the games over the three games the next 4 days.
Sounds good. Thanks for having me on.
There you go.